Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of Learning Grounds. Since our last episode, Scott and I graduated from our respective master's programs. He's out on the East Coast in Boston doing some amazing educational outreach with public television, while I am in Boulder, Colorado, still doing the book learning and studying my PhD. Today is amazing because this episode features my first ever, our first ever, pubcast with Bud Hunt, or at Bud the Teacher on Twitter. And Bud and I sat down, and while the normal podcast is one cup of coffee long, it turns out I drink beer and Bud drinks beer faster than we might drink a cup of coffee, and that would be a really short conversation. So this pubcast is two beers long. So thanks so much for joining, and hope you enjoy this conversation with Bud Hunt.
So, that feels better. All right.
Yeah, so no pressure. People might actually listen to this, is what you just said.
I know. And I actually set it up so that it has my name the right way.
Nice.
So it's not just like random podcasts.
That's cool.
Hi, Bud Hunt.
Hello, Zach Chase.
This is weird.
A little bit.
Now it's an artificial.
Yeah, now there's a recording.
Yeah, but
that's all right.
We'll probably talk exactly the same as we did before.
Pretty much, yeah.
Less cursing.
I can't guarantee that.
Yeah, okay, that's fine, too.
It's been a long week.
I can say that it's an explicit podcast.
Let's aim high, but we'll see where we end up.
So we are, I have to now do the introduction of...
Please do.
We're at Left Hand Brewery.
Yes.
In Longmont, Colorado.
It's true.
So the Learning Grounds podcast is the learning wort?
There is coffee-related... residue.
Yeah, yeah. All right, there's coffee present.
Yeah, I think
somewhere.
We're good. Yeah, the learning dry hop podcast.
But I am drinking the same thing you were drinking.
It's true.
The Left Hand Nitro Milk Stout. Oh, wow. I didn't realize that the pint glass is special.
These guys do good.
Cheers. So this is Learning Grounds pubcast. I've always wanted to do a pubcast.
And here we are.
Since I was too young to drink.
That's usually when they're the most enticing and exciting. Yeah. Oh, then, that'll be fun one day. And then you get here and you're like, oh that's
just because I was
don't
tired.
Record that.
That's
yeah.
What's happening. So what have you been doing? I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
You know what's different about that? For most of the time we've known each other, it's been, I haven't seen you in what, like a year?
Like
year
18
and a
months, yeah. Yeah, so you have populated Northern Colorado quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
You've made the rounds.
I really am trying to pull everybody together.
Yeah, I mean, since you've gotten here, I've had dinner with you and several other folks that I don't ever see twice, have gotten to visit a few times, and we're like actually like working together on some things.
Yeah, that works out really nicely.
Oh, kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, I went with Ben and Glenn Moses. We went to see a concert a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, like real people do.
That's good.
Like actual friends who don't just talk about school and education.
And you ran a marathon last weekend.
I did. I'm like gonna run here. Another one next weekend.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, I did, and it was much slower than I would normally run a marathon. Not
it's
because of altitude.
Here.
No, that wasn't it. At mile, 13, going up a long and steady hill, of which there were many. They say it's a flat course. They're lying to you. There was this lady, and she was running about the same pace, and I made some, quippy joke because we were tired, and I wanted to make it better. And then we ended up running together. Until from mile 13 to mile 25. It was her first marathon. And her friend, her training partner, who's maybe half a foot taller than she is, mm-hmm. started running and just
she was gone.
You have to ride in your own race.
It was over.
And the lady had pulled her groin 10 days before and was still running it, so she was even slower than she normally was.
So you pulled a Zach and ran with her. You coached her through it.
I did.
Nice.
And at some point, way later, when I had lost the mental ability to, mince words, I said, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I'm really glad you're holding me back. Because I have to run another marathon in 2 weeks.
Thank you for slowing me down,
exactly.
Obnoxious first marathoner.
Because I totally wouldn't, and I got a head cold the Friday before I woke up, and you can hear it a little bit, maybe.
Everybody in Colorado has that head cold right now.
I know, I'm really excited to be a Coloradan.
Yeah, welcome.
But it was a great marathon. We parted ways at mile 25 because I said, I have to run the last mile. And it was amazing.
That's great.
Yeah. And I only couldn't really walk for 2 days.
That's fine.
Going downstairs is not a... wasn't. Now it's fine.
Oh, that's good. I'm happy to hear that.
So, but and that's... we've answered the question of what you've been up to with me talking about...
It's true.
Me.
Well, you know, I'm curious. What have I been up to? In the last week, we kicked off our... both our... yeah, this... we're sitting at a stone table, and if you can hear this in the podcast, it's moving a little bit.
A little bit.
So if you hear a scream, the stone table fell on me.
Or me.
Zach went ahead and recorded it anyway.
Yeah. Well,
and posted it on the internet. So
I'm
thanks.
An observer. That's
thanks,
what
Zach.
I am. I'm
appreciate
learning
that.
A lot about observation. So what last year...
In the last week, we have kicked off both the fourth cohort of our Digital Learning Collaborative, which we can talk about. We held our first... the Center for Make Hack Play held its first ever event.
Really?
Kind. Yeah.
I did not have an invitation.
You did indeed. The Hack Jam.
I did have an invitation.
Yeah, you were busy.
Was I running a marathon?
I think you were, which is a pretty good reason not to come.
All right.
Yeah. So we ran our first Hack Jam, which went very well. And then I've spent some time with our DLC Inquiry Challenge group, which is like our crack team of district-sponsored teacher researchers. So I'm doing a lot of teacher research and professional development right now, as well as a ton of, hey, my thing's broken, or hey, I want to write this grant, and you should come and help me make sure I don't make a bad mistake with what we buy, and hey, this is broken. Did I mention the brokenness?
There's a lot of brokenness.
Around to it again. Yeah, so we're doing that, and then we're in the thing I was doing before I got here, and the thing I'll be doing after I leave is trying to figure out some publicity materials, promotional materials, for our first makerspace that we're going to build, get this, at a preschool in Frederick.
It sounds appropriate, although the preschoolers might be upset.
Well, the cool thing is, if we do what we think we're going to do, it'll be open to the community, but it'll live in a preschool. So there'll be this like time when it's only for preschool,
mm-hmm.
and this time when there'll be grown-ups there.
Oh, okay.
And I have no clue what that's going to look like yet. I know what I want it to look like, but the fact that the district is... not only permissive but excited about that is pretty cool. So
last year, one of the frustrations I brought up a lot when we talked about schools and their places in communities and how communities didn't really care about schools unless they were getting closed down or somebody failed, it was like, it was the most underused public space,
right?
I think that we have, right? Like, it's just like 5 o'clock till 7 the next morning. That's...
see you later.
Giant open building.
Well, and then 3 months in the summer, oftentimes.
Right.
Not all the time. Yeah, today, in the paper, I don't know if you read the Longmont paper, you being a Boulderite, but...
I don't.
Today in the paper, the story was that our district is closing its... shutting down its adult education program.
Okay.
Which, we're doing it for money reasons.
Right.
I promise this is relevant. But that kills me because it feels to me like the job of a school district isn't to educate... the 5-year-olds to the 18-year-olds.
Right.
It's to provide educational opportunities and stuff for all the people who live in the school district.
Learning for everybody.
Right. Yeah, I mean, one of the complaints we hear a lot is folks who have either never had kids or have had kids who've graduated say, well, why am I still paying into this system, right?
Right.
And you can make the argument that, well, all children being educated is good for you, and it is, but I'm more and more interested in how the job of a school district is to provide educational opportunities to all the people who live there,
right?
Whether or not they're 5 or 45 or 75, and how do we build these communities that draw on the experiences of people who aren't teachers but who are interesting, because there's tons of them.
So okay,
no go ahead.
Well, like thinking about adult education programs, we're talking... like, give me an example of a course that might be part of an adult education.
So the adult education program was a program that supported students who either had dropped out and wanted to finish.
Okay.
Or folks who, you know, in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, who just wanted to get a high school diploma as opposed to study for a GED. So you had all sorts of self-paced and structured courses that matched the common high school scenario.
Okay.
What would be cool, but this was beyond the scope of that program at this time, life classes, you know, stuff that we want to do in the makerspace, like, hey, I'd like to program, or hey, I'd like to make a website, or hey, I'd like to build a birdhouse, which sounds like a weird thing, but...
Well, so this is, I was reading, Anna I can never say her last name.
I know who you're, of whom you're speaking.
Author of DIYU.
Yeah, yeah.
Had an article on Coursera. Coursera?
Mm-hmm. Coursera, yeah.
It's Coursera.
Is it? I think it is.
Coursera?
I thought it was Coursera.
I'm signed up for one, so I should read it when I like.
Well, I'm signed up for several, but I never attend.
Right.
Because that's the joy of a MOOC.
But so here's my point. In the article, she's talking about a university, and I want to say it's like some place in Norway, northern European country.
Okie dokie.
That is offering credit to its students who complete one of the courses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, credit for that university for its students to complete this course outside.
Yeah.
And so you talk about this, and I think all those people, like, all the people who really want to do this need is a computer and an internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is being more and more difficult to actually get in America.
Unfortunately.
But couldn't they do that? I mean, is this something that the makerspace could house or could provide a conduit to? I mean, are
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, so, yeah. And by the way, CSU, I learned, was the first course, the first university ever. They're continuing ed school. They're accepting. It's not Coursera. It's MITx or, uh-huh. or StanfordX or
right.
one of those. Some MIT education
and
X.
Harvard together, you know.
Yeah.
They combined.
That's super.
Harvard.
To offer an opportunity for people to give them money who don't go to school there.
Right.
Right. But.
That's exciting.
Well.
To find new ways to take money from people.
It's the American
and do
way.
Very little work.
Well. Yeah. So I don't want to go too far down that road.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, sorry. Yeah. I mean, I'm not so interested in credit. I'm interested in the stuff that school should be about. That's why we call the center for making, hacking, make, hack, play, right? You should make things
uh-huh.
as a learning endeavor. You should fiddle with things. You should play with things. More and more, like that's the stuff that kids do after school.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a club or a group they join.
Well, more and more, I think, is actually not more and more. I think it's just that's the way it's always been. You think that schools used
well,
to... From a historical perspective, I would say
right.
that education is never, with the exception of like an industrial arts course or like an ag course, hasn't been as much about what you can make. I don't think there was ever
a time... Yeah, I'll give you that. But
like, unless you're in an English class, and that's writing an essay.
Fair enough.
That's not the same thing.
Actually, I think it can be. Making... Well, anyway.
No, it's making, but it's not...
It could count. Often it doesn't.
Not but, a huge trend of people just getting together and writing essays. Although I would be,
well,
I would be on that.
The internet's pretty good on that. I mean,
well,
Facebook.
Yeah.
What is Facebook but a vehicle for you sharing your short essays in small pieces? And Twitter, anyway. Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe it's not more and more, but I went to a thing, an event, 5-6 years ago now. In fact, it was in Philadelphia.
I've heard of it.
You were there.
Okay.
And it was a National Writing Project, Digital is Day.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole purpose of this day was to explore this really interesting, rich stuff that people were doing with digital composition and video game making and web making and these sorts of things. And the overall thing that I remember, the thing that just struck me so hard from that was here was all these school people talking about what was important to do at school and explaining that all the important stuff that they thought was important to do at school happened at like 3 o'clock. Until 5 o'clock.
Right.
Like, it was all outside of the classroom.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
Okay.
I'm disappointed by that. I feel like that stuff should happen during the school day. And if it can't, then we should at least make a case for why it can't and figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah, I don't think that it can't.
I don't think that it can't either, but it doesn't seem to be happening.
Okay. Here's my why. It's 'cause the way we measure.
Yeah, that feels good to say.
No, I think it's true. I think that the charter school bubble. I think that is a bit of proof, and it was interesting. I had a professor last year, one of the like foremost proponents of the charter schools,
mm-hmm.
And we got to that portion of the course. And she said, we gave them a blank canvas, and they painted the schools we already have.
And they made that, yeah.
And I think and the way we say that those schools are doing well or doing poorly is whether or not kids do better on standardized tests.
It's the same measure, yeah, but
But if they do really well, we say that's a really successful school.
On the test, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a charter school like, I don't know, 2.5 miles from where we're sitting right now.
Uh-huh.
It's called Flagstaff Academy. And it's a really interesting school. It's a core knowledge school. They would tell you they are a core knowledge traditional charter school. But when you walk into that school, like, there are kids engaged in really interesting making projects. Mm-hmm. They're making art. They have a year-round greenhouse garden. I was in it a couple days ago. They're growing tomatoes. They're growing tilapia, which I think is a fascinating thing to grow in a garden.
What kind of soil do you need?
Well, apparently not much.
Okay.
I think it's a hydroponics project.
Oh, all right.
But to say that a charter school,
right,
is, and I know that's one example, and I also know that some of the differences between successful charter schools in urban areas versus successful charter schools, right, in suburban areas versus not enough whatever to build them in rural areas, which is something that I spend more and more of my time wondering about. I mean, anyway, I just know that there are places where stuff gets made, and that's important, and it's valued. The one of my concerns about a makerspace is in Frederick, of all places, which is a small rural town by the highway here. It's a beautiful place. Is there might not be the creative capacity to build it, because there might not be enough people interested in what that means.
So you've got to get commuting creatives.
I think we've got to get the community to realize that they are creating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that the town of Frederick, like most other towns, there's really interesting making going on. You know, there's quilting, and I don't mean to stereotype, like, rural communities as, oh, they have a quilting circle, but quilting happens in the suburbs. My wife quilts.
Well, and many rural communities also have quilting.
Yeah, it's like, true. It's like, true. Well, and they have a lot of other making-type activities, yeah. But a lot of the makerspace models that I've seen are in urban areas, right? Mm-hmm. There's a high concentration of people. Right. You get 1% of that high concentration, and you're good to go. Well, you need a much larger percentage in a less dense populated area for those types of things to happen in the way that I'm hoping they will.
Okay, so two things.
Yes.
One, we're going to break this table eventually.
It's possible.
Okay, so now three things. The comment about charter schools, yes, that makes sense, and yes, I agree.
Uh-huh.
I think it is the same as if you put it over, if you overlaid it percentage-wise with traditional public schools.
How are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Thanks. You would find the same kind of exceptionality of schools that are doing kind of, right? The vast majority of traditional public schools are doing pretty traditional things.
Yes.
And I would say that the majority of charter schools are doing traditional things.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the case. Like, but I think, sadly, the ones that are making national headlines are doing a lot of traditional things.
Yes.
Really well. Like, really are having the outputs that
they are having the outputs
that people are looking for.
Yeah, because I would say that a lot of the traditional things that are worth doing, and that's, I know that's a subset of traditional things, but traditional things worth doing,
mm-hmm,
are usually done pretty poorly. There's a piece in The Atlantic right now, the Writing Revolution piece. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that yet?
No. It came into my inbox, though.
I'm glad.
I've seen that
there
alive,
is one.
It
that's
exists.
Good. That article, which there's a lot of really interesting conversation going on around it, and there will be more because Atlantic's doing some neat stuff with that debate, but it sort of explains, hey, this school that wasn't doing so well with writing really bore down on expository writing, and amazing things happened. And amazing things happened in that article was test scores went up.
Right.
But my guess is that also some really interesting stuff got written.
Right.
But nobody cares about the interesting stuff that got written.
Well, somebody does.
Well, nobody...
Probably the kids who wrote it.
Yeah, the kids that wrote it, the teachers that read it, maybe the parents and families that were affected by it. But I guess the thing I would push back on is that I want to celebrate the stuff that gets made more than the test scores. And
yeah.
And I don't... obviously, I know you feel that way. But I want to try to use some of the language right now that folks are really gung-ho about with STEM and technology and science, and same reason I went to the IT department. I feel like there's an opportunity there in the middle of the sexy and the beauty and the shiny,
mm-hmm,
to celebrate some of the stuff that we forget to celebrate about schools.
Yes. I'm going to save my second question and go get us a second beer.
That sounds like a great idea. Does that mean we pause, or should I monologue while you're gone?
I'm going to just cut that part out.
Well, what kind of beer would you like?
Sure. Don't worry, they're going to bring it to me.
Oh, okay.
They didn't fail. The Appalicious. There's nothing in there you can't eat, right? Onions and apples and
that's everything I want to eat.
Oh, wow. I know, right?
That sounds amazing.
I know.
Oh, so I should clarify for the podcast.
Yes.
So, usually, it's a cup of coffee. And I'm finding that I drink coffee more slowly. Then I drink beer. So we just paused to get a second beer.
To reload. That's right. And we also found ourselves some grilled cheese.
It's a truck.
There's a truck right there where we're sitting. You can probably hear the generator in the background.
Yeah, that's what that is. It's one of the many background noises.
I'm sure it's all the generator.
So,
sorry.
Here's my third question.
Yes, sir.
How do you keep a makerspace from becoming a community center? And I mean those in more like the stricter definitions of...
I want to ask the question back. Why would I mind?
Well, why not make it? Why not say it's a community center? Why not?
That's fair too.
Like, so, what's the difference between the two? I guess
I don't know yet. But here's what I do know. I do know that we're interested in the makerspace because we want to build. I'm calling it a teaching makerspace.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking about the way we want to design the space so that teachers can attend workshops and observe while work is going on in the makerspace,
mm-hmm.
because we want to show people what that maker ethos is about and is like and what's important in it. So for me, so long as stuff's getting made, I don't care what we call it.
Right.
I think there's still value in community centers where kids do arts and crafts.
Right. Well, and I'm not implying that there's not value in it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying it. It seems one of those pieces of almost buzzwordy, right? Like, it's cool. Like, if I told you I was starting up a community center, you would think I was in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
But now that we're in the late aughts, early teens.
We can go with late aughts.
Okay.
Well, no, it is early teens.
Yeah.
What an awkward time for the century.
Well, you're early teens.
Growing hair places. Yeah. All
it smells funny.
Yeah. Ooh, the world will start to smell a little strange, if it hasn't already. But there's something in vogue about saying you're creating a makerspace versus a community center.
Uh-huh.
But oftentimes when I hear people talk about makerspaces, it's kind of like, oh, you're making a community center.
Yeah, well, and you're building community around power tools in a lot of instances. I really don't care.
I think there's a specificity that's implied in makerspace, right?
Yeah.
Community center, I could just get together and, hang.
I don't mind getting together and hanging. I guess my pushback is I wish we had more spaces for public, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would be happy if it were considered a community center.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, we sort of fallen into this particular location. What we set out to do was to see if folks would be interested in building these types of spaces in their schools. And we don't know. They may be. But I would not be disappointed or sad or hurt if people began to refer to it as a community center. I would be if they were expecting somebody else to provide the programming and all of the things that happened that were interesting there.
Mm-hmm.
But in that sense, I think we'd be interested in a good, I wouldn't mind a healthy library that had activities for people in this place.
Well, and that's the other thing, is why a new space versus becoming part of a... I mean, I know you're becoming... you're sharing space with the preschool.
Right.
But why not say, I want to get involved with what is happening...
With what's already there.
In my local library.
Right. And I say it's not mutually exclusive. We built the center as an idea. I keep calling it an ethos space, right? We just want to promote this attitude that folks should make things, and they should do it together. It should be fun. And it's a good way to learn. But I'm not opposed to us building this one space here. It doesn't mean we won't help other schools and other programs do the types of things that we think are important.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish that I could have said, hey, we think your programming should change to more like this, but I don't really have those relationships yet. And this is an idea that we built out of out of a summer workshop that we wanted to run, because we realized that folks that we were working with, teachers, didn't have this sense of agency about what they were doing in their classroom. They were waiting for the answer from, I don't know, for Guffman or Godot or whoever it was that was going to bring them the answer. And I wanted to push back, and I say my colleagues in St. Brain said, well, there's nobody coming, and that's okay.
Right.
What are you going to do about that?
Right.
So it was never about, we have to make a makerspace. It was, makerspaces are a good idea to get at this sort of talking and agency.
Can I hand this to you this way?
Yes, please.
I cut that some
oh, thank
too.
You.
There's that.
Love you
that
so much.
This is awesome.
Let us know what you think.
Will do. I already.
We just announced it yesterday. We tried it at Asher, and they loved it. So people there, so I'm curious.
I'm already pretty interested.
Good.
Thank you.
That is a beautiful sandwich.
It
here.
Is.
I'm actually going to take a picture of said sandwich.
You know what I can do?
I will.
Yeah?
Sure.
I keep forgetting to do that.
I'll tell you what. Here, let's do that right now. How do I send it to you?
Our emails. You know what? My personal email is shorter. Let me have you do that one.
Okay.
The other one's really long.
He can type really well. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, my other one is Jan's Place Homestyle Cooking.
Jan's Place?
Uh-huh.
Homestyle.
Uh-huh.
I just like watching him
cooking.
Yeah, he is pretty fast. At gmail.com.
I'm assuming no apostrophes or anything.
No.
Awesome. Send.
Thank you very
Are
much.
You here in Longmont?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So yeah, we go to 5 different breweries and different businesses. So yeah.
That is a beautiful plan.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Grilled cheese is awesome.
Thank you. That's a commercial. It's a podcast commercial.
It was, yes. This show brought to you by, although we paid full price for everything, so I'm not going to say their name again. But it looks delicious.
In their defense, they had no idea what we were doing.
It's true. They have no podcast. What? What were we talking about?
Makerspace. I want to, but no one is coming, but you still were. Like, you were coming for the teachers now. Like, they still didn't...
No, so, I talked about the DLC earlier. When my colleague Michelle came to Colorado... Is it awesome?
It
looks pretty good.
There's so much butter in here.
That's a good thing, I think. Maybe not.
No, it is.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
there's some napkins that haven't been...
I was worried there weren't napkins involved.
No, bad news. I'm going to not eat yet. When we came to... When she came, we this notion of our IT department providing training was we would teach a little class, and we would teach a little class, and we would teach a little class. Nobody wants to come to a little class.
It's a pretty traditional model.
Yeah, it's a pretty traditional model, but it sucked. It wasn't. It didn't do what we wanted. So the whole idea of the Digital Learning Collaborative was, what if we flip that around and just help people create frames for learning that would that take 2 years? And yeah, we're from the tech department, but you don't have to learn about technology.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a technology element to what we do, but we're interested in helping people think about how they learn together as grown-ups. And hopefully, and we've seen this, that translates to how they learn with their kids instead of at their kids or to their kids.
Right.
But the disconnect for us was the folks who were successful in the DLC felt like they had some sort of control about what happened to them. Be it, well, yeah, that's the curriculum, but I see how this benefits my students, and I've looked at some data, and I think I can fiddle with it. Or... yeah, I really feel like my kids need this, and they bring this other thing in. Or, yeah, the district really doesn't support this, so I went to the district and I advocated for a change, and the system changed. Or sometimes it was...
How do you like that?
It's amazing.
It's delicious.
He hasn't had it yet.
It looks delicious.
Oh, I ate one.
All right, I'm going to take a bite. Hang on.
Yeah, we only introduced that last night.
That's what she said, and you have a hit on your hands. It's wonderful.
We think so.
Yeah. Yeah. You should make more of these.
Okay. Well, we are. We got
Don't stop.
Okay. Thank you.
Stick with it. That's awesome. Wow, that's a really good grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
It's more than a grilled cheese.
Jam's Place. You're going to love it. Okay. Oh, you know what? I know I misspelled their name. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
You can send it again later.
I'll send it again. But that's quite good. This is not a good podcast. I'm sorry.
No.
Please listen to me and eat this grilled cheese sandwich in high fidelity audio.
It's audio verite.
Yeah. Soundscape. Listen to me crunch this. Anyway.
It's the worst episode of Radio Lab anyone has ever heard.
Yeah, right? He's just chewing on the sandwich. I didn't edit it. Anyway, the folks who had that sense of agency were successful.
Right.
We may have helped and amplified that a little bit through the processes we gave them. But I'm not interested in the folks that can help themselves. I want to fiddle with the folks who don't feel like they can.
Right.
And it feels to me like the maker ethos, the maker movement, the call it what you will, there's some juice in there about culture and what it means to be and teach and live that I think is useful. So that's where that started. I mean, we thought, well, we'll do a summer workshop about agency. Well, who comes to a summer workshop about agency?
No one.
Right. But if you make it about making and building and playing and exploring and hacking, suddenly people go, oh, I should come to that.
Those are things that sound fun.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's why I went to the tech department. Nobody listens to an English teacher who says, we should do this differently. But when the guy from the IT department says, we should do this differently, and here's a computer.
Who is secretly an English teacher.
Yeah, right. Well, it's not that secret. But that juice works.
Right. I was talking to Michael Wacker a couple of weeks ago. I think I've told you this. And we were talking about teachers and performance and falling off and rating teachers and all these other things. And so it's this is what it strikes me. This is my hypothesis that I will never test. So I'll just say it enough times so the lie will become
perfect.
Truth.
There you go.
So the first year teachers, we know historically, just they suck. By the traditional standard of how we measure teachers.
Sure.
Right? They don't do very well.
Okay.
Their scores, by and large. Like, they impact lives, sure. They care for kids. They teach them how to read, write, play, ask questions. But their scores aren't very good. And so then the schools, in that first year of teaching, are like helicopter parents. And they program the hell out of those students. We will professionally develop you like nobody's business.
Induct them, right?
And then the second and third years, their scores go up. But one of the things studies find is after they've gone up, those second and they plateau.
Right.
Right? And so this is the hypothesis that I was explaining to Michael is, because in that first year we do a really good job of taking away agency. We do a really good job of taking away curiosity. What we say is, when you don't know something, we'll know you don't know it, and we'll teach it to you. So just wait for us to come and professionally develop you.
Yeah.
And so then by the time they're done with their third year, they're like, perhaps unconsciously, I'll just wait here until they tell me.
I will wait for assistance. Yeah.
Right. And then, which then when you become a veteran teacher becomes, I'm just waiting for the pendulum, and then we'll know what the next big thing is for 20 minutes.
I'm doing okay because nobody stopped by in a while. I mean, I get mad at some of the folks who say that the problem with teachers is they're not evaluated or they're not being observed or whatever, but there is some truth to that. Like, the fact that we put them on a three-year cycle and we assume that everything's good, like, that promotes in some ways some stagnancy. Like, I'm good. I don't need any support. I'm happy.
On the backside of that, though, there's nothing keeping a teacher from saying, hey, come and watch me teach.
Yeah, but not a lot of teachers are saying that.
There's no reason not to. Okay. Unless you're not very good.
Well, or unless you're afraid of what people might see.
Come on.
Which...
Or you're incredibly busy. And that's the last thing, like...
Yeah, let me add some complexity to my day by inviting some other people to come watch. I do think there's
I sponsor these three clubs, coach these two sports, and take care of a family at home.
Yeah, let me make sure that I invite the principal again.
Uh-huh.
Again. And the principal's busy.
Right.
Now, there is a lot in the structure that just doesn't allow for that creative free play and time. And so I get that.
But... This is the best grilled cheese sandwich.
It is a delightful grilled cheese sandwich.
I've had a lot.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
And this is...
It's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I think... Anytime you put fruit on a grilled cheese, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
We do some pear grilled cheeses at the house.
Ooh,
yeah, it's pretty good. I say we, it's really Tiffany. If I had anything to do with that, they would be like, here, enjoy this Kraft American single sandwiched between these two slices of white bread.
Can you talk to me about things you're reading?
What am I reading?
Mm-hmm.
What am I reading right now? I'm pressing the read later button a lot lately.
Okay.
But I haven't found the later so much.
Uh-huh. We're talking about, like, shorter...
Yeah. Yeah. Like a lot of essays and magazine articles. I just... Tom Standage is somebody that I really like. Do you know Tom Standage?
I do not.
He wrote a book called The Victorian Internet,
okay.
Which is a really great look. His issue, his sort of stance is... He writes for The Economist. He writes books. Everything that's happening right now has happened before, but nobody pays attention to what happened before, so it's all brand new and we're all totally bewildered by it.
So it's like Battlestar Galactica?
Not quite like Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, this has happened before.
Yeah, well.
It will happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
believe he has scrolls or prophecy or 12 tribes or anything like that, but...
Well, 13 in the end.
Excuse me. My mistake. Wow, Earth. Okay. His books are really interesting. He's got a new book coming out called Cicero's Web, which looks at social media in history. So scribes and the early church. I mean, Martin Luther was a big fan of songs and things because they were viral and they would spread to our communities and stuff. But I'm reading a lot of his articles. He has a lot of articles on his website that are just old things that I'm saving and reading a lot lately. I just started Stephen Johnson's new book. Not because it's Future Perfect, it's called. Okay. Not because I think that he's right about everything, but I like his writing style.
Yeah. Have you read The Invention of Air?
Yes. I love that book.
Yeah. I just got his last book.
Where Innovation? The Innovation book?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where Good Ideas Come From.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I skipped. I don't know why, but I just skipped it.
I read the first chapter in Borders, when there were Borders.
Uh-huh. And I remember those.
Yeah. And I thought, I'll wait until this is used, and I'll buy it cheaper. And I did.
Yeah, that's a good book. I suspect it's a good book. I haven't read it. What else am I reading? I've been reading. I've been reading a lot of fiction because it's been. I joined a book club. So
you joined a book club?
I joined a book club. My wife was invited. In real life, my wife was invited to join a book club, and I'm her husband, and it's a couples book club, so I get to go.
Okay.
But I actually read the books,
50 Shades of Grey.
Which is cheating. No. We just. Our next book is...
By the way, there's something about me that loves the idea of you having to read 50 Shades of Grey.
I never want to read that book. My mother-in-law just read that book, and she was telling us about it. And I was like, no, please stop talking. Please stop talking.
Well, it's a trilogy. That's what's great.
No, stop. And my favorite part of that conversation was when she explained that she hadn't told her husband, who is a pastor, what that book was about yet. Uh-huh. And she probably wasn't going to, and we shouldn't say anything.
He thinks it's just a very monochromatic,
yeah, it's about watercolor printing. Book. Yeah, I don't know. the next book is Bill Bryson's Short History of Everything.
Okay.
So, fiction, nonfiction.
Do you need your own copy or do you want mine back?
I have an electronic copy because I read 3/4 of your copy and thought, I need to own this book. So I own it. What else am I reading? I have in my craw to read Sherry Turkle's Alone Together because I've heard her talk about that book 3 or 4 times and I think it's a really interesting conversation. But I keep not starting it because I am like, I'm not sure I really want to go there. Howard Rheingold's new book is very good. NetSmart.
I've seen a couple write-ups of it.
It's good. And what's weird about it is I've talked to him about the book like several times, so I know more about like what he was thinking when he wrote the book than
the actual book.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I really like what I've read so far. I've read about a third of it.
In classes.
Yeah.
I get. Made fun of a little because we have a lot of reading to do.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a doctoral program.
Yes.
And that's all they assume we do. And then I read other things.
Is that permitted?
It's permitted.
But it's frowned upon.
Well, because what it leads to is me in class saying, that reminded me of book X. Which is, and people are like, how the hell? It's more resentful of my time. Like, what they don't understand is I don't have a life outside of school.
I really like to read.
Yeah. So it's basically like I go home, I walk the dog, and I read some more. Whereas they have families and friends and significant others.
What are you reading?
I'm reading Paul Tough's new book.
Yeah, that's on my list.
Succeed. Mm-hmm. I like it very much. Sherman Doran wrote a blog post about it.
Uh-huh.
Do you know him at all?
Yeah, I know Sherman Doran.
That is pretty spot on so far from what I've read. The thing that I like is that Tuff always seems to be rooting for teachers. He's not always the most critical about which teachers he's rooting for. But he's always rooting. There's a hopefulness and an optimism to both of his books that I like very much.
His last book was on Jeffrey Canada, right?
Yeah, Whatever It Takes.
Yeah, which I didn't read.
Also great. And the reason I picked that book up is this is the only time I think I've ever picked a book up because of the blurb.
The blurb?
Ira Glass had a blurb on the inside of the jacket cover that was, this is the most important, I learned more about poverty from this book than anything else I've ever read.
All right. Yeah, that's, okay. I can see that.
So I'm reading that. I'm reading Deschooling Society by Ivan Illich.
Little Illich, yeah.
And I'm reading Papa Hemingway.
Is this a biography?
Yeah, it's a biography / memoir. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's he was friends with Hemingway for the last 14 years of Hemingway's life.
Wow.
He was a journalist for Cosmo, and he went down to Cuba to get Hemingway to write a story on the future of literature, because Cosmo was doing this issue on the future of like fashion and art, and Picasso was writing about art, and so they were trying to get Hemingway to write on the future of literature, and Hemingway, in true fashion, turned it around to like, I can give you two short stories. And then he turned it around to, I've got this book that I'm working on, we can do it as a serial in the, and I don't know how it ends up because I haven't gotten that far yet, but right now it's moved from an article to two short stories to a serial.
Nice.
And it's so much fun.
No.
There's something else I picked up.
I realized that I completely neglected my audio reading, which is what I'm doing more and more of.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Chernow wrote a book of a biography about George Washington that is something like 30 hours long.
And it's a lot of hours.
It's many hours. And I'm the kind of guy on Audible that goes, 4 hours, I don't want to use a credit on that.
But you're still listening
but
to
I,
this one.
But I go, 30 hours? I'll use that credit. Uh-huh. So my first Audible book was like Einstein, you know, which was a seriously big investment. But this is a really fascinating book. And we've just ended the war.
Okay.
And it's post-war for George Washington, and I'm very interested to see.
Which war?
When it comes out. The Revolutionary War.
Which revolution?
The first one. We did okay. It was a defensive war.
Canaan?
No, the American Revolution.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. The American Uprising, I believe the British have called it from time to time. But
I'm listening to Sway.
Sway?
It's The Science of Bad Decisions, or something to that effect. It's about irrational behavior, and why people make irrational behavior, make rational decisions.
And it's called Sway?
Mm-hmm.
So I just listened to a book called The Drunkard's Walk, which is very much that same book.
We're all really trying to figure out why people make
choices.
In audio form.
There's an awful lot of interest in that.
But I don't want to read that book.
Speaking of bad choices.
I will listen to it.
Well, I drive
so much. I can ironically get into a car accident.
Oh, dear. No, I drive so much that I have to listen to audio.
Yeah. Those are good books. Yeah. You still reading blogs? Can you blog some more? Can you write blog posts every once in a while?
I have some drafts in the hopper. The last month I've been...
Google Reader says.
Yeah.
New
not
posts
so much.
And it's like, oh, these are your weekend tweets. That's great.
I'm sorry.
Who is reading those, by the way?
Sadly, a lot of people.
Why?
I don't know.
Are they commenting?
Do you know why?
Do you
no.
get comments on
no.
those posts?
So here's why I do that.
I think
that.
It's not a lot of people reading it. I think they see that you posted something.
And they're like, what? Oh. I started posting those because I wanted an archive of my tweets, and I couldn't get them any other way. Now it turns out I've got a half dozen ways to archive them, but I still post them because the other reason I started doing that is I wrote blog posts based on them.
Okay.
I've stopped writing blog posts based on them
because
I keep
writing
forgetting
blog
to
posts.
Do that. Well, I wrote a blog post this month on the first day of this month. It's only the 27th
day of this
month. I
believe I commented on that.
There's time.
One.
There's time. My writing on my blog has gone down, but I maintain three different blogs for work.
Okay.
And I'm writing there. But it's not as interesting. And for the first time in my life, I am going home and playing with my children and realizing that the day is over and I would like to read a little more before I end the day. And the muse, my muse comes and goes, and the last couple days have been coming back. I have some draft stuff that I'm working on. Got to chat with Alan Levine and Jim Groom and Jameez Razana today, and Howard Rheingold was facilitating, and I just sort of looked around and went, oh, Alec Kronos was there too. We were talking about blogging, and I just sort of looked around and went, why am I here? Can I hang up and just listen?
Do they all really like your weekend tweets?
They love the weekend tweets. No, but there's some good stuff in there to write about. I have found myself in development mode, not in writing mode, mm-hmm. and I just haven't been writing as much. I'd like to be.
Can I say this to you?
You may.
And I mean this truly and really. Write about making the space.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
No, like, as you do it.
No, I know.
And I know that your process and my process are way different.
Uh-huh.
But I need some off the cuff. Like, one, because I want to watch it happen mm-hmm. in that way and not just in the conversations that we have. And two, because I want you to have that. And I feel like you're not gonna.
No, it's good advice. I am struck by how this little idea that I had, this little cheeky, let's start a center, because that's what people do, has turned into like 20% of what I'm doing at work right now. And I do need to get back into that. And
that's almost as though your passions
have become my job.
What?
Again!
Damn it.
It keeps happening.
What is wrong with you?
It keeps happening. I love it. No, but I'm not process writing as much as I'd like to.
I would like to read that, is what I'm saying.
I would like
and
to
I'm
write
it. And I probably am not the only one.
I would like to write it. I'm sure there are 7 or 8 people. And frankly, I just need to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm almost at a place in the year. Our Septembers are crazy because the 3 weeks before school starts, nobody wants to talk to us.
Right.
And the 3 weeks of school, the first 3 weeks, nobody. Like, until school starts, everybody wants something. Then school starts, nobody wants something. And then everybody wants something again. So we're getting there. I'm about to be back in a place where I can do some more writing, which I would like to do. And I was talking to somebody today about an ebook, which I have no business writing, but I'm interested in that idea. So I'm writing. There's more writing coming.
All right. That makes me feel better.
That's good.
I've finished my beer, and you have finished your beer.
It's true.
So that means I'm gonna stop the podcast.
Okay. I think we should.
But thank you.
You're very welcome.
For
thank
sitting
you.
And having a conversation that we would have anyway.
Anytime.
Yeah.
I will probably continue, but we're gonna stop the recording now.
You'll never know what happened.
We'll talk
after
about
this.
All the good parts.
Yeah.
More grilled cheese.
Sex and booze. What?
Wait.
Thank you for listening to Learning Grounds with Scott and Zach. Our intro music comes from New Dance Boys Mission. It's called Intro, and it's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license. Learning Grounds is also under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license. Say it 3 times fast. And thanks for listening.